So I started thinking, I actually just wrote a post on this. The 80-20 rule where 20% of your customers give you 80% of the value. I
Pareto's
started thinking about the
principle.
opposite, which is the 20-80 rule, which is if you think AI can get someone 80% of the way there, what is that 20% that I can do that AI can't do? What's that, the value of that?
Hey, Michael, welcome back to the Corporate Escapee podcast.
Thanks, Brett. Good to see you again.
Man, third time's the charm, so no pressure.
Yeah.
But I looked, and it's funny because you were last on last December, so just under a year ago, and we were talking about AI and escapees, which we're going to get into today because I think there's a big opportunity. But I didn't realize that you were episode 13 back in 2019.
I'm an old timer. I'm an old timer's old timer.
Yes, one of the OGs of the podcast, which is awesome. And welcome back, no pressure.
Thanks.
Maybe to kick us off, why don't you just let the audience, they can go back and listen to the December one if they want to get some deeper bio on you and your back. But what are you working on today? And then I want to get, which is kind of be the topic we're going to talk about, AI and consulting and those, the combination of the two. So, but just share with the audience what you're working on today.
Okay. Actually, why don't I back up and I will give a little bit of history. So I spent a long time in corporate life. And then about 8 years ago, I couldn't take it anymore. And I left and started consulting. And I was at Nielsen. It's a pretty big company. We used to do a lot of things with startups and everyone's trying to knock the king off the pedestal. And so I started getting calls right away from people who were trying to disrupt Nielsen. And so I had a pretty easy stream of business right away. Over the past 5, 6 years, the next 5, 6 years, it was pretty easy to get work. And I connected with a couple of venture capital firms. I was brought in as a fractional CMO 5 or 6 times. And during that time, it was easy to get jobs. And it was easy to get a lot of money. So people would pay me, five figures a month, and the deliverables would be very squishy. And I would say probably about a year ago, that really started to change. And a lot of it, I think, came from just all the economic uncertainty, what was going on with AI, what was going on with the economy. And what I found is two big insights. One was that buyers really wanted, they needed to know what value they were getting. They were really stingy with their money. And the second was, they had very specific problems to solve. So the days of being a fractional CMO, for me, I felt like it was me versus the other 20,000 fractional CMOs out there. I had been having a lot of conversations about pricing and product packaging in particular, and so I decided to focus in deep on that. And so I started selling pricing and product packaging centric solutions, and they ended up leading to other broader product marketing types engagements, but that was really my focus. I spent a lot of time developing new methods and point of views and things like that. And then as AI came along, I started really thinking about how could I leverage this? Because the challenge I continue to face, which I think a lot of consultants that I speak with also face, is that people don't want to spend a lot of money and they want the answers fast. And I always get this sense that whenever I'm talking to a prospect, they're thinking, well, I could pay this guy the big consulting bucks, or I could just get ChatGPT for $20 and get
Yeah.
myself 80% of the way there.
Call it a day, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I started thinking, I actually just wrote a post on this. The 80-20 rule where 20% of your customers give you 80% of the value. I
Pareto's
started thinking about the
principle.
opposite, which is the 20-80 rule, which is if you think AI can get someone 80% of the way there, what is that 20% that I can do that AI can't do? What's the value of that? And so I've come up with this model that is, I would say, AI augmented or AI enhanced consulting, and it merges the best of AI with what I consider some of the human superpowers of experience, innovation, creativity, and the ability to build trust with people into an integrated deliverable that's both very data rich, but also involves some face-to-face consulting. My goal was to actually have a deliverable that I could give somebody in 48 hours and it would cost $5,000. Something that was real super easy for me to do, super easy for them to buy, and then the idea is that would lead to further bid engagements down the road.
If it makes, if you even want it, right? Maybe you just stick with selling those 5K engagements. But I want to dig into that because that's when I like the light bulbs are going off. And, you know, we've talked in the past about how I think starting to sell services, and you're kind of selling a tech enabled service here with AI. But the two things you said that I really want to highlight for folks is buyers need to know the value, right? They want to know what the value you're getting. You just can't, because that's what I talk a lot about, is you can't lead with job titles as a fractional or a consultant and these types of things. They don't care, right? They want to know, are you saving me time, making me money, saving me money, reducing risk? That's about it. Somewhere in those buckets. And then the other thing you said, which I love, is it's just the problem you're solving. That's what we do, right? That's why we make this too damn difficult sometimes, is when you're going to solve a business's problems, what is the problem you're trying to solve? And then what I, like I said, what I know you've been working on is iterating around how to leverage the best of AI and, you know, provide that service to small businesses who, guess what, aren't just like the rest of the 80-20, right? Only 20% of the folks are actually going to pay attention and figure out how to leverage AI, right, for improvements. The other 80% go like, too late, too difficult, don't want to do it, or just who knows why they won't. But all right. So I just wanted, like I said, highlight those two things for people in the audience, depending on where you're at. 100% agree. Focus on the buyer value and a problem, and it's going to be much easier to sell than focused on job titles. So, all right. So let's dig into, again, because you're not a programmer, right? Fair to say you're not.
I'm definitely not.
But you've, like I said, I consider myself knowledgeable on AI and how it works, and I use it on a daily basis to help me with my business. But I think you've taken that to the next non-programming level to really understand where you can start to help small businesses and even larger businesses, right, leverage that tool. So, all right, I'll shut up now with all that. But yeah, so kind of talk about what is your vision? What are you seeing? What are some of the areas that you think this makes the most sense, or take us wherever you want to go?
Sure. So there's an interesting study published by Anthropic, the owners of Claude, probably about a month ago or so. And they slice and dice usage a number of different ways. And the one that I thought was most interesting is they looked at AI usage by automation versus augmentation.
Oh, interesting.
Automation was super high. Augmentation was not that high at all. Interesting, I had a conversation with a colleague of mine who focuses on healthcare. And he was saying that there's a huge group of the startups, as you probably know, that are AI-enabled startups. In the healthcare space, there a lot of them are focusing on automating customer service, right? So you call up the hospital and they do some triage or whatever through a voice system that's AI operate it. And the interesting thing, and kind of the scary thing, I think, for all of us, is he was saying that most of the time, the founders have absolutely no industry knowledge. And they just have a better way of doing something, and they figure it out. And they think the industry expertise doesn't really matter. Okay, so, you know, I thought a lot about that, or we talked a lot about that, that that's probably true at the base level. If you're just looking for efficiency from AI, that's great. But what we bring is the ability to create more value. And those are the things that we have to uncover. And so when I put together my, I have a GPT or a project or whatever you want to call it, I put together the way I wanted it to work, right? So I built the models, I figured out how they want it to work, when I know what the output needs to look like. So it spits out the output exactly the way I want it. But at the same time, I check all the work, and that takes me a long time, and I write the recommendations. And what I find is that even though I've standardized a good part of the work, I still, every customer is different, as you know. And it's not as simple as putting up a website and having people type in their URL and expecting it to spit out. It's not going to work. It needs to be modified. But then the other part is, thinking long and hard about how I can have a hybrid delivery model. So there is output that has recommendations, but it always has a human component. So whenever I do anything, it starts with a intake meeting, or they give me data or whatever. I do the analysis, and then we have a live session or sessions to actually present the results and ask questions. And here's where I think people like us have a real advantage is every single conversation I have, it always starts with, okay, so how'd you get these numbers? Where'd this come from? What's the methodology? And if you don't know exactly how the thing works, you're never going to be able to answer it, right? So that's right. The differentiator we have versus a junior marketing person going in and saying, what should I price my product? Like, they're just not going to, they're not going to be able to call BS. They're not going to understand what's right, what's wrong. And they're not going to make these adjustments. And that's really where I think people like us with experience can really make the most of these types of tools.
Yeah, no, so good. And I think, because I've been thinking about too, from the automation standpoint, that's going to be a dime a dozen. It's just going to be built into anything that can be automated will be automated here pretty quick. But I'm 100% with you on the industry. I mean, the way I kind of think, use industry knowledge, right? You've got the institutional knowledge, and or if you want to call it tribal knowledge, AI is not going to be able to replicate that or do an analysis of it. And as you were kind of talking through what your, I guess, offer is, it makes sense, right? Because back when I was consulting, we would do a, hey, 20K, 25K, we'll come in and just give you your current state. And not just the current state, but a roadmap that comes out of it, because nobody wants to pay you to hear what their problems are. They know they've got problems. They don't need to pay you to do it. But that would take 6 weeks to go in and pull the data, assess the data, and then come back with recommendations. But with industry or your knowledge, you can take what the data is going to pull from the AI, which is going to be much cleaner and easier to get. But you need those other three things, right? Industry, institutional, and customer even specific in some cases, to make real recommendations that are going to move the business forward. So now I absolutely love this idea.
Well, I think also, I sort of think of them as human superpowers, that things that AI can't do. So AI is not creative, right? It's by nature just regurgitating what it has, and it's just a fast search.
Right.
Right. Can't predict the future, right? So it can't look over what, it can't think about what's going to happen going forward. And the other big thing it can't do is empathy, right? So I had a call that I just had a, got off a call with a company that sells software into warehouses, and they automate huge parts of the manual process inside of the shipping of an order. And the CEO is saying, you know, the biggest hurdle we have is that the person we're selling to is usually going to be, you know, automated out of a job if they hire us.
Right.
So AI is not going to catch that. And so if you think about the sales process, we can empathize and understand that and think about how we handle objections or how we want to work with that or around that, whereas a machine isn't going to be able to really do that.
But it makes your, to your point, a lot easier. We can add a lot more high touch or deeper value, right, versus some of the surface level one-on-one processes. And no, it makes sense. And again, I loved when you were heading down the path of pricing, because there's just not enough people talking about pricing or understand how to do pricing. And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that your first kind of toe into this, was, hey, what can I do from a pricing analysis, yeah, right? It's one thing to have AI crunch the numbers, but the real world experience and everything else we just talked about, right? It makes sense.
Yeah. So I had done this specifically for pricing, but as I thought about it, I thought there was a bigger opportunity for me and for everybody else in our community, because you could apply this to virtually anything. Like if I had a customer asking about their promotion strategy for year end, and it turns out that most companies, they don't do a cost benefit analysis of a promotion, right? You could basically design a new promotion strategy that's AI enhanced and does a lot of the calculations and the predictions. And, you know, I could add the nuance and my experience there, and we can come up with a pretty interesting solution. And I've talked to CFOs, same thing. There's a lot of manual work that happens there that could be automated, yeah, or improved. And, you know, so I think that any of these things could happen, but I think it is important, like you said, to have it be a point solution, like having something very specific that you solve and just do it really, really well. And then you can expand from there. It's kind of like the tip of your spear to get into a company is how I see it. And, you know, as you noted, I could sell, it may be the end of just selling $10,000 2-week engagements. I don't know, but
yeah.
It may be that's the way to go, or it could also lead to other things. And I do have some ideas for recurring deliverables that I'm working out with some venture firms that they like, and it could become a recurring revenue stream, I think, if you think about it right.
Yeah, I'm definitely into that, the camp of how do I build something that's repeatable, provides enough value. And then if somebody wants to go deeper, I can bring in a partner that wants to dig into these types of things. I'm definitely more into the, and that's just my personal opinion, because there's some folks that love to get super deep and dirty into specific problems. And again, to your point, there's two paths here. One is the entry point. You can undercharge for it, but it gives you a really good blueprint or a roadmap into the org. And the other one is, hey, you're going to get a ton of value coming out of me just doing this. You know, take it in with one, or I can connect you with somebody else that can help you come in and run this. And right, one of the businesses that we've got EOS folks out there, right? They charge a fortune for what they're doing. I mean, it's going to put them at risk, because it won't cut out the industry knowledge. But everything else that they charge for up front is going to be put at risk. Same with management consulting firms. Again, with your level of experience at 20 plus 25 years with Nielsen in that space, you know enough. Now you've got an army of junior level consultants to come in and help build. So, you know, a long-winded way of saying, I think what this does is it allows, again, we talked to Gen Xers, to marry this technology and provide a substantial value improvement into small businesses.
Yeah. Well, so that's interesting you bring up management consulting, because when I was having this conversation about the hospital automation, it occurred to me that these new companies, they're essentially doing the systems integration work that Accenture used to do, but at
a fraction of the price,
right? Yeah. And so that's kind of the new model, is they have, it's like automated, it's AI enhanced, and the cost, it's super cheap. And this is the existential threat to these consulting firms, because they can't compete based on their cost structure and how they're organized. And, you know, I think there's an opportunity to sort of thread the needle between, you know, consultants where you're getting the partners and they have a lot of experience and da 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 da, and these people who have no domain experience. You know, we can kind of thread the needle and offer things that are high value, but much more affordable and much faster, quite honestly, than those guys could do.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give you my experience, because I was brought into a management consulting firm as a principal because of my industry experience, right? Yeah. I was on that side of the aisle. I knew how the internal workings work. I know the challenges these B2B organizations face. What I didn't have was the management consulting experience of the team of project managers, all these other things. Now that AI is still going to be, there's project management, I'd argue, is still a definite skill. I don't think you can automate it. You can 80-20 rule, I'm sure. But again, that's why I get so excited for Gen X. Get out of corporate, right? To your point, it doesn't matter what function you're in or where you sit, there's going to be an opportunity to help businesses. And even if you don't know AI, right, people like Michael are out here to help you. And there's going to be folks that'll help you craft, right, what you want. But it's, again, a long-winded way of getting to, I think it's a great opportunity, but don't let the technology scare you, right? I think is probably the way I would phrase that. But
well, I would say, though, that for me, it took me a while. It took me a while to get it right. Like, it probably was like 3 months of a lot of work, iteration, and just learning how to kind of guide AI to get it where I want it to go. And I, you know, on LinkedIn, you see all these prompts, like, hey, or you see these things, I got the prompts to do XYZ, right?
And right.
Put in prompt and as a reply, and I'll send them to you. Well, I think that's all kind of baloney. That's today's clickbait, if you ask me.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Yeah. And to me, I think what works best is saying, here's what I think, what do you think? And so you lay out a scenario of what you're trying to accomplish, and you then iterate using AI as a thought partner. And it takes a little bit longer, and it's way more iterative, but I think you get a much more robust solution. And, you know, I've learned a lot of tricks along the way. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to add to, and I'll give you another real world example of this, is what I'm doing with the corporate escaping. We were talking a little bit offline, right? That I'm launching a new online self-paced course. It's not really a course. It's really how do you get through the playbook, those types of things. But everything that I'm working on, the community, right, the downloads, is all B2C or direct to consumer, which is not me. And I do work with, you know, ChatGPT and say, all right, let's bounce this strategy back and forth. But you know what it's missing is an industry expert, somebody that's been doing it for 20 years that understands the nuance of TikTok and LinkedIn and these different things that I'm going to keep iterating, but I'm keeping making mistakes. I'm not saying that you won't make mistakes doing it this partnering with experience, but I guarantee you if I had somebody that knew this, how to do this, like build courses, these types of things, I'd probably be 3-6 months ahead of where I'm at because the GPT is only getting me so far, right? It's definitely moved me in the right direction, but it doesn't have that nuance that somebody with 20 years of experience actually would. Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, I think going through the exercise of doing something like this is great for a consultant because it's like tomorrow's skill that you need to have. And it builds credibility with customers that you've actually figured out how to use it because most of them haven't. So, and I personally enjoy it. I think it's interesting. It's challenging. But you have to have the right mentality for it, you know, and the patience to do it if you're going to do it right. Because it does take time. There's no sugarcoating. I mean, if it was easy, everyone would do it.
Exactly.
So you're kind of like pouring your brain into AI and getting it to think like you. That's really the trick.
And different variations, right? Because now I've got to a point where I use Perplexity to do some of the deep research. Then I plug it into ChatGPT and say, hey, I went and did some research. One, can you validate this? Two, mm-hmm. or poke holes in it. And then kind of help me summarize or think through, right, the data, the research. So it's again, I like it. Again, that would have taken me 2 weeks in the past. Now I can do it in an hour. If I go back again to your point, it's taken a while to start asking the right questions, right? And formatting, because there's still times when we're like, hey, can you create a table that simple? Thank you. I know we're getting off track a little bit, but for the collective, I'm launching a new sessions calendar in November. And I plugged into ChatGPT. I'm like, all right, here's all the sessions by date. Can you just build me a visual calendar that I can then print off on a PDF? Oh my God, it's an hour later and I still haven't been able to get it to spit it out in a format that makes sense, right? So, and that's probably more me because I'm not telling it the right way to do it. But if I wasn't careful or I didn't look at the dates, it transposed some of the dates. And anyway, so that's reinforcing having the knowledge to be able to verify is still critical.
Yeah, I just wrote a post on this on LinkedIn. AI makes a lot of mistakes, and they can be really stupid. Like I was having ChatGPT do a calculation. I had the formula, and I had a bunch of data that I was asking it to calculate. And part of the calculation was, you know, this divided by this times 10. So I get the numbers back on a table, and they look ridiculously high. And so I said, hey, can you check this column? It looks funny. And it said, oh, yeah, I accidentally multiplied by 100, not 10. I was like, I just gave you the formula. How did you make that mistake? So it does really dumb things sometimes. So you do have to know it. You do have to kind of pay attention for sure.
That's interesting. Yeah. I don't know. Another one of these maybe I've made it moments because when I was doing some of the research on, I don't remember what it was now, but so Perplexity, I'm not signed in. So it doesn't know who I am. It's not learning from my interactions. And it was talking about, you know, fractionals, consulting, and a bunch of other things. And one of the data points it pulled back or sources was actually me when I was talking about some of the data and the research from the escapee community. So again, that just shows you can get yourself out there pretty quick if you're writing about an important thing. Anyway,
well, the thing to remember is that ChatGPT's number one source is Reddit. So that should tell you enough about the quality of the data.
Check, double check, and triple check to make sure your source. Yeah. No, for sure. I love this idea. And again, it was funny. We had a thread in the community today talking about the different paths, right? So it's consulting and fractional, and you know, how can you get to a, you know, 300K business or a 5K? Does it have to be multiple revenue streams? And in there, before we even talked, I'm like, you got to find a way to sell it as a service, right? Because it's repeatable, it's scalable. And because fractional and consulting just as a standalone, you're going to run out of hours, right? You just don't have enough time to do that. So,
yeah, No, I agree. It's tough.
So, but it's all good.
Focus is really important. Like, I think you might be a lot like me. I chase a lot of things and hope something hits, but I could never invest the time to do this. It would take me 100% of my time to do a podcast, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I could, and maybe I'd make some money off it, but you really gotta pick and choose your opportunities to some extent. It's all about trade-offs. So
yeah, and it's gotten to the point now it's easier, but yeah, I definitely made the investment the first few years in time. Now it's, I can hit record. I've got my processes. Well, yeah, it's funny. So the podcast, my processes are, you know, nailed down, but there's still some other things where, and I've told this story before, where when I was just doing the fractional and the consulting and basically more of the pre-escapee stuff, I had my system, my calendar was nailed down, right? I was highly efficient. Now with this all being kind of, it's not brand new, I've been doing it, but just trying to, there's a lot of moving pieces. So now I feel like my efficiency scale is under 50% again. So I'm trying to update my system, my personal system, to figure out how to get myself back on track too. Because again, I get guilty of chasing the shiny objects as well.
Yeah, it's hard not to.
But I think you have to, right? I think you need to experiment, because that's how, I wouldn't be here today if I didn't, you know, we probably wouldn't be, well, maybe we would be chatting, we'd figure something out. But, you know, it was TikTok and it just sent me down this path that if I would have said no to not experimenting, then it wouldn't have been here. So
yeah.
I don't know. It's just finding that balance.
For me, one of the hardest things about being on your own is that you have to do everything. And, you know, for me, there's certain things I enjoy and certain things I don't enjoy as much. Like, I love the creativity and the ideation, things like that. So doing this AI stuff's really natural for me. When it comes to the sales part, that's a little bit more of a slog, right? So that's, I think, the secret is, like, how can you leverage what you're really good at, what you like doing, and then kind of offloading or simplifying all the other parts and still have them be just as effective? Because
yeah.
You really can't, you have to do them all. That's sort of the situation.
And if you do them all, you're not going to do them well, right?
So, right.
Naturally, you're not going to be good. And again, I think that's part of where the future of this is going, where, you know, I don't, maybe not piggybacking off of another escapee or somebody else, but there's going to be folks that are in these small businesses that you can piggyback off of and partner with to get introductions in, so you don't have to necessarily do the selling. And it becomes more of an ecosystem. Again, on paper, it sounds nice, but if you can get some of those referral partners, that the world you can spend. I don't mind the sales. It's like it's the admin stuff that I hate. I love, if I could spend all my time just doing this, doing TikToks and other content, I'd be super happy.
Yeah, of course.
But you got to do the work though too, so you can understand exactly what you're doing. You went knee deep into this to figure it out. And like I said, I think you got a really, really interesting path. And two, it's probably not something you want to do, but I mean, there's probably a business for you to teach other escapees or Gen Xers how to learn, right, ChatGPT to do this. I don't know if that's the training you'd want to do, but I'm sure there's people listening out there and like, well, hell, maybe Michael can
anyone who wants
train me how to do this.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who wants to reach out and learn more about what I'm doing or see what some of my deliverables are, feel free to reach out. I'm happy to get on the phone with somebody. I'm going to give a shout out to another member, Naveen Agarwal, who he knows the AI stuff really well. And he's been a good resource for me, kind of thinking through things and figuring out how to do things easier, basically automating some of the things that it would take me a long time to do. I'm like making presentations or putting things up on the website, things like that. So a shout out to Naveen. Give him a call too. Hire him. He's great.
Yeah. I'm looking to see. He was on the podcast. When was he on? September 22nd. So just about a month ago.
He was on.
Yeah. Same thing. And he's definitely more technical than where you are. But that's the beauty of this is I get to learn from everybody. So if anybody's been on the fence about joining the community, both Michael and Naveen are in the Escapee Collective. So
Just reach
out. And maybe what we should do is get you back in to do, because I know you did a pricing workshop for us, but maybe we do a tech-enabled workshop here in the not-too-distant future. Because I think a lot of people, again, I think this, we've earned the experience, right? We've paid our dues with it. So how do we leverage it? Going forward, I think this is a really, really interesting way. So,
yeah. And I guess my only ask, of course, is if any of you have clients that have pricing issues or you want a second opinion on something, you know, keep me in mind. I can do
things
deep and fast.
We'll put all the links in the show notes, but yeah, Michael's not hard to find. You catch him on LinkedIn. And hopefully maybe we'll get you a little more regular spot on the podcast as well. It's funny that you, again, episode 13, I knew it was early days, but I didn't realize it was infancy. So you must've been doing me a favor back then, because I think the first 20 were friends and family that came on.
I shudder to think of how that went. So
we don't have to listen. I won't
learn to it but now.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. All right, Michael, well, appreciate you coming back on, and we'll get all your contact info into the show notes, and yeah, let's keep the conversation going, because again, I've showcased a lot of folks that are doing consulting, doing some fractional, all viable paths, but the more we can start to uncover new opportunities, I think it's going to be a very interesting. It's definitely a very interesting time. So we'll see where we're heading. So I appreciate you spending a few minutes, and we'll catch up with you in the not too distant future.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's good talking to you again.